Hey, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back with you again. I'm glad that we can meet in this manner. I trust that you're all staying safe and staying close to Jesus, keeping our eyes upon Him every day. He's got a plan. He's got a strategy for your life. He's going to see us through every situation. He's faithful. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We put our hope and our trust in Him who doesn't fail. So I'm glad, once again, that we can be together today, and I'd like you to join with me for a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercies that are new this morning, Lord. I thank you that you're with us and for us and not against us. I thank you, God, that you have a plan for our hearts, for our lives. Show us the way, Lord. Reveal to us your path, Lord, your way. I pray remove those things, Lord, from us that would hinder in any way. Even the weights, Lord, even the good things sometimes, Father, can be a weight. It can be a distraction. It can be a hindrance, Lord, from doing what you want us to do. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just purify us, Lord, and cleanse us and prepare us and set us, Lord, in position, in a state of readiness, Lord God, that we will be quick to say yes to your will and to your way, Father. I pray your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in each one of our lives, Father. I pray that we will all finish well and finish strong and stand before you in that day with full confidence, Lord, knowing that as you were in this world, so are we. So, Lord, I just pray that you would grant me utterance to speak this morning and that we will hear from you, Lord. Set me aside. May the Lord Jesus be glorified. Amen. God wants us to live a victorious life. And I believe that God doesn't want us to live a part-time victorious life, but a full-time victorious life. And I believe it is possible for us to live constantly in a state of victory. It's really possible as we are willing to listen to the voice of God, willing to listen to the Lord and obey Him. He knows the way through every situation. He knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. God is the one who is in charge here. God is the one who's Lord of the nations. He has got things under His control, praise God. Hallelujah. And if you and I are in Christ today, we don't have a thing to worry about. Hallelujah. We trust the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean on your own understanding about things. Just acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. And He said that He would direct your path. He'd make your path straight. He'll show you. Wait on the Lord. Be patient in the process. And know that God has a perfect timing for everything in your life. And soon and very soon, I believe we'll be through this season. And we'll be back together. So keep your chin up. Amen. Keep looking to the Lord. He's faithful and He's true. And He'll be there. Hallelujah. Through it all, we're going to learn to trust in Jesus. So as long, guys, as we are willing to follow the Lord, we're going to walk in victory. Hallelujah. And as you and I have come into Christ, if we've been born of His Spirit, we become a new creation. He didn't come to patch us up, but He came to make all things new. Hallelujah. So God's given us a promise in this new covenant, as He had promised ancient Israel, that He was going to take out of them the old heart, the stony heart, and give them a heart of flesh, a new heart. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this: Now thanks be to God, who always, not just partially, but always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Now, you know, a question we could ask sometimes, and I've pondered this before, is if a person is truly born again and they've been delivered from the power of darkness, why would they continue to still walk in darkness? Well, I believe sometimes it can be due to stubbornness or rebellion, but most often I believe it's because their minds lack the illumination of God's truth, God's Word. So we need to have our minds renewed. Our hearts have to be in alignment with our minds, and our minds have to be restored through the Word of God. They have to be cleansed. They have to be brought into proper perspective. We need to have God's perspective on life, heaven's perspective on things. So God is the one who leads us in victory, hallelujah, in triumph in Christ. And it says, through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. So Paul here is using a figure of a triumphal procession. of Roman conquerors returning after a glorious victory. So what they would do is they would take their prisoners and they would set them in the center of the street and they would march them in this procession while the people or the servants of the king would be along the sides of the street and they would be bearing incense. And they would be, if you were diffusing a fragrance of victory. So as they walked through, they would smell the incense. And it was supposed to be a smell or a savor of victory for the people. Now, the Bible says that in Christ, you and I are more than conquerors. Because Jesus Christ is our victor. And so in Christ, we can be victorious. And what we're actually supposed to do is be a fragrance of the Lord. As we're walking and following the Lord daily, we will be an expression of His heart in this world. We'll be a sweet fragrance to those who are being saved. And so in verse 15 it says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Now the fragrance of the incense meant victory to the conquerors. But it spoke of doom for the captives. To those of us who have accepted the love of the truth, we have a pledge, praise God, of a glorious future. However, to those who reject the truth, the fragrance of Christ is an omen of doom. And as long as you and I are trusting in the Lord and obeying Jesus, He's always going to lead us, not part of the time, but always lead us in triumph. Now, the only way the devil can defeat a child of God is by defeating us in our minds through wrong thinking. That's why our minds need to be renewed. Now, God gave a promise to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, concerning the new covenant. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man and his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." Hallelujah. Thank God there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We can come to our advocate with the Father. We can plead His mercy and call upon Him and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, God didn't say that He was going to add a new heart to the old heart. He said, "I'm going to remove the old heart and I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh." Now, it's very important that we understand that God is not going to add the new to the old, but He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to become a new creation in Christ. And so it's not up to you and I in our own goodness. It's not by our own works that we're saved, but by the grace of God as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us, to cleanse us, to redeem us, to restore us. Only in Jesus Christ is there hope. No one is righteous enough for God's standard of righteousness, which is perfection. And so Jesus has become for us righteousness. In Him we are declared righteous. Hallelujah. So those who are saved from sin are those who have received this new heart. And that new heart is Christ in you. The new heart cannot be compatible with the old heart. When you receive this new heart, something will happen. There will be a change in your life. You will begin to hate sin and you'll love righteousness. And when Adam had sinned in the garden, he immediately became separated from God. But God in His mercy had given a promise to Adam and Eve that through the seed of a woman, He would deliver mankind from the curse of sin. Hallelujah. God created us to live in us. We are designed to host the Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it was God's plan to redeem us. Because we are precious to Him. You don't redeem something that's worthless. but that which is precious. God, in His mercy, was willing to pay the highest price for you and for me. And that's why today we should be thankful and we should give Him thanks and we should give God praise for the indescribable gift of His love, for all that He's done for us. If you and I are truly born of God's Spirit, if Christ is in us, then we become this new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our self-value is usually based upon how well we do or don't do. And sometimes we are deceived into thinking that somehow if I just do better that God will love me more or God will accept me. No, God loved you before you were ever declared righteous by God. Before you and I ever called upon Him, He was calling out to us. Remember, it was the Lord who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. We weren't looking for Him. Jesus was knocking on the door of our hearts. And sometimes through circumstances and situation, God brings us into a place where we'll realize that all the things that we trusted in can forsake us and they cannot save us. But only in Jesus Christ is there eternal hope and consolation. We need to focus on what God has accomplished for us and not on our own accomplishments or even our own insufficiencies. God wants us to set us free, guys, from wrong thinking. Repentance requires a change of mind. And even though we may have this new life in Christ, sometimes our thinking is not in agreement with the truth because we have been shaped by this world that we live in. So a lot of times we're making wrong decisions because we're ignorant to what is true. God's word is true. God wants us to know what is true. Jesus said, "You shall know what is true, or you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Sets you free, but it will keep you free as well." Hallelujah. As we abide in His truth, hallelujah, His word abides in us. It transforms the way that we see things. Our thinking, our perspective changes by the power of the word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. And even though we have this new life, sometimes who we are truly in our character is not how we live. And God wants us to change that. God wants us to repent. And He wants us to understand who we are in the new creation, who He is in us. And He wants us to enjoy the abundance of life that He promised us in Jesus Christ. And so in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world or cosmos, this system that is in rebellion to God, but be transformed," metamorpho, "by the renewing of your mind." God wants to transform our minds that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the renewing of our minds means that we should think the way God thinks. God wants us to think the way He thinks about things. And as long as you and I attempt to achieve righteousness by an act of our own will, we will never be righteous. That's why Jesus had to come, because you and I were incapable of saving ourselves. God's righteousness is what He accepts. And God's righteousness is His Son, Jesus, who has become for us righteousness. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God, lest we should boast of our own accomplishments. God wants us to turn away from reliance upon ourselves, trusting in our own goodness and our own righteousness, put our faith in Him, and rely upon His grace every day, the strength, the power that He releases to us by His Spirit and through His Word, to live a life that is honorable before Him and also before man. So as long as a person is in the old nature, the Adamic nature that we all receive from our forefathers, a person remains a slave to sin. But God wants us to come out of Adam and into Christ. He wants us to transition out of darkness and into light, from death into life. Hallelujah. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Hallelujah. You know, God wants us to walk by faith, not confidence in self, but are confident being in God and His ability to help us through every situation. He is the one who will lead us in triumph. Hallelujah. In this procession of life. Hallelujah. And you and I are His diffusers. As we walk with Jesus, we're going to be a fragrance of Christ. Hallelujah. In every place. And so God, through Paul, said this in 1 Corinthians 2:5. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God wants us to depend on His Spirit. Believe His Word. His Word is perfect counsel. If you need counseling, go to the book. Go to the Word of God and pray and ask the perfect counselor, the Holy Spirit, to show you the way. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul said this, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. For what reason? That no flesh should glory in His presence." That we would realize it's not about us and it's not of us. It's about Him and it's of Him. Hallelujah. Our victory is in Jesus Christ alone. "But of Him, of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." If anyone deserves the praise, it is the Lord. He deserves the credit. If there's going to be any victory in our lives, we need to give God the credit. Amen. That's why we should give Him praise. Hallelujah. And thanks in every situation. We are victorious as long as we continue to walk with the Lord and follow Him. Because He's the one that will lead us in this triumphal procession. Because Jesus Christ is the victor. Hallelujah. He has overcome the world. He said, yes, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Jesus said, all authorities have been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. Go therefore, right? And what? Preach this gospel. Preach the good news to every creature, to all creation. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, teach them to observe everything I taught you. Hallelujah. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bring a person to an understanding that they're lost and that they need God's mercy. They need His grace, that they cannot save themselves by their own good works, but by our confidence in God, amen, and our faith in what He's accomplished for us. And by the word of our testimony, we overcome that devil, that liar, that accuser who wants to accuse us before the Father night and day. Hallelujah. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Turn to Jesus. Cry out to Him. He has mercy. He has pardon for you. Hallelujah. We are victorious only because the victor dwells within us. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Greater is the one that is living inside you than he that is in the world. In Colossians 2:13, it says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, because Jesus Christ, hallelujah, fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law, hallelujah, the ceremonial requirements and the moral requirements as well. Jesus fulfilled all those things on our behalf. Hallelujah. And all those things that were written against us, the law, the things that we had done contrary to God's perfect law. The law is perfect, but the law was there as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to point out the fact that we're lost, we're sinners, and that we cannot save ourselves, that we would turn to God for mercy, and He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. He will give us that new heart and we'll become a new creation. And then we will become that expression of God, that diffuser of Christ in every place. Hallelujah. God, it says in verse 15, He has disarmed or spoiled principalities and powers Hallelujah. The demonic hosts and these forces that are contrary to us, Jesus Christ has overcome them. He is the victor. Hallelujah. And He had made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. As long as we walk with Jesus, we will be victorious. God wants us to be victorious all the time, not just part of the time. And so through the revelation of the truth, my mind begins to conform more and more to God's way of thinking. So as my thinking changes, my whole perspective on life changes. I begin to realize who I am in the new creation, that is, in Christ. And as long as we continue following the Lord, guys, we will live in His victory. Not just part of the time, but all of the time. So in Christ, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. In Romans 6:22, it says, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life." Hallelujah. My victory over sin, Satan, and the world is not dependent on others. I am Christ-dependent now. It's very important, guys, that you don't look to others to validate you, but you look to the Lord. At the Father, let the Father be the one to say, "This is my beloved son or my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Because He accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf, and your faith in Him, hallelujah, will justify you in His sight. Hallelujah. When I'm focused on myself, I become dependent on others to make me or to break me. God wants to set us free from that. An example would be, if people approve me, then I feel approved. If people don't approve of me, then I feel unloved and worthless. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul understood that in order to be a follower of Jesus, in order to be His disciple, he was going to have to deny himself. He could not look to man any longer to validate himself. He didn't have to have the approval of men. He needed to know that he was obedient to the mission that God had given him, and that he was going to be faithful to the one who had called him, and that he would finish his race with joy. He overcame to the end. And the same way Paul overcame is the same way you and I overcome today, and that is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. He's the one that will help us. He's the one that leads the way in this victorious procession, this triumphal procession. As we follow the Lord, hallelujah, we will be a fragrance of life to those who are being saved, and a fragrance of death to those who are perishing. Those who reject the truth will have to go before judgment carrying their sin, and no sin will be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. That's why Jesus came, because you and I were incapable of being righteous enough to be qualified for God's presence. So Christ on our behalf became our sacrifice. He took upon Himself the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. So you and I could go free. That's pretty good news. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." So your value as a person is not based upon what others say about you, but what God says about you. To Him you are precious, and that's why Jesus came, to redeem us. Unfortunately, too many people, their identity is defined by the standards of society and not by the Spirit of the Lord or the Spirit of truth. It's not based upon truth. And even in the church, to some, salvation is just about leaving here and going to heaven. Guys, I thank God that He's prepared a place for us. Amen, that we do have a home in heaven. But right now, God wants to bring heaven to earth through you and I. He wants us to be the vessels that He brings heaven through, to be the diffusers of Christ's fragrance in this world, that people will have a taste of heaven through Jesus, amen, and by His Spirit working through our lives. Hallelujah. But God is looking for someone who will cooperate with Him. Someone who will say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. Send me." Some people spend themselves primarily, even in the church, on this temporary life and not for the kingdom, because they have an instant gratification mentality, which is America in a nutshell. We are looking for instant gratification. And all of a sudden, God has put the pause on everything. It's like God just reached out of heaven and hit the pause button. And he's saying it's time to stop, to rest, to reflect, a Selah. God is calling his people back to return to him, to forsake the idols and the distractions and even the good things that have become evil because we've put those before God. And God says, I want you to examine yourself. I want you to reconsider your ways. Look at what really matters. Take a look at your life. What is it that means the most to you? Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Guys, if our treasure is in heaven, then we're going to live our lives for the King. We're going to live our lives for that reality, the superior reality. And someday we know that we're going to kneel before the Lord. In that day, every knee will bow. And every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And God is calling us out of this world to partner with him in his mission. Our salvation, even as a nation, is in Christ alone. It can't be in our government, can't be in our military, certainly not in our politicians. It's not even in our medical professionals, guys. But our confidence, our faith as a nation has to be in God alone. In God we trust as a nation. You know, the Lord wants to save America. God wants to redeem our nation. God wants to turn this around. He wants to turn away our captivity. But it requires you and I as God's people to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. And we say, Father, heal our land and turn our nation back to you. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 18:7, the Lord said this, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Are you hearing this today? And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. God is being gracious to us right now. God is giving us space to repent, an opportunity to turn back, to get right with him, to call on him, seek his face once again, and as a nation to turn back to God. And it begins with the house of God. It begins with God's people. You and I are the salt and the light. You and I are to be the diffusers of Christ in this world. And we can't be a light, guys, if we're walking in darkness. So God says, forsake the darkness. Come out of death and walk with me in new life. I came that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. God is calling us to seek him, to seek his righteousness, to seek humility, to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that he would lift us up once again, even as a nation. But it begins with you and I as individuals. We're personally responsible for what we do as we are representatives of the Lord. God is with us. He's not against us. He has plenty of grace for every situation that we face. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It is Jesus Christ who is our victor and the one that we keep our eyes on. We obey his voice. Amen. We listen to his word and let him guide us every day. And he will lead us in that triumphal procession of victory. Hallelujah. Salvation, guys, is heaven coming into me. Salvation is Christ living in me and Christ living through me. That's what God wants to do. He wants to shine through our lives. As we sing that song, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Lord, my prayer is that you will set our hearts aflame for you. Give us holy passion to glorify you. Lord, to understand that what you are offering us is superior to that which the world would offer. For only the world can give us temporal things, but God, what you do is eternal, and what you give is eternal. May our hearts be changed. God, I ask you to change our hearts. Make our hearts true. Lord, reignite the flame in each one of us. Bring us back into harmony with you and with your will, Father, and make your will our desire, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Christ shed his blood for you, that you could go free. He loves you. And I say, America, return to God, and he will return to you. Guys, as individuals, let's return to our God. Amen. Let's get back to our first love. Let's fall in love with Jesus all over again, where he is our greatest passion, our desire, our joy. Our life revolves around him. He is the center of it all, the center of our joy. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver the captives. He wants to restore broken lives, broken marriages, broken families. God is more than able. He's capable. He calls us to repent of our selfishness and of our own ways. If we will truly turn back to him, he can make all things beautiful. And he'll do it in his time. Don't give up. Keep your eye upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Guys, I love you. I'm looking forward to the time when we can be together once again. And in the meantime, stay close to the Lord. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay connected any way that you can. All right? Feel free to call me or text me anytime. I love you. Shalom. Peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.